And so we conclude another hour of beautiful music on KIXI. Stay tuned for the news next, followed by Mystery Theater. On KIXI 91 on your dial, Seattle. The time, 10 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford held his first news conference Wednesday, then relaxed at a dinner and dancing party at the White House. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. By White House standards, it was a small party. 54 guests, including the cabinet, top administration officials, and Nelson Rockefeller and his wife, Happy. Although the Rockefellers have a home in Washington, they were invited to spend the night in the White House. They chose the Lincoln bedroom. President Ford told reporters he enjoyed his first news conference, but admitted he was nervous at first. At the news conference, Mr. Ford again rejected a return to wage and price controls, refused to commit himself on what he might do if Richard Nixon is prosecuted for Watergate crimes, repeated that he will probably be a candidate for the presidency in 1976, and called for an acceleration of Project Independence, the U.S. effort to achieve energy self-sufficiency. A brush and timber fire continues out of control in the mountains near Palm Springs, California. Authorities now say more than 17,000 acres have been burned inside a 34-mile perimeter. The fire is in the San Jacinto Mountain area, about 15 miles from the desert resort of Palm Springs, which is not in danger. Authorities say the blaze was deliberately set Tuesday morning. Terrorists have kidnapped the 83-year-old father-in-law, the president of Mexico. The kidnapping comes in defiance of a government policy of refusing to negotiate with the kidnappers. There are reports the kidnappers have demanded more than $1 million ransom. More CBS News after this.
I'm Win Elliott for Sports Central USA.
And I'm Jeff Scott with Weekend on Wheels.
Every Saturday and Sunday, Jeff and I are here with sports reports to keep you sports fans in the know. Jeff rounds up all the late news in the auto field, and he brings you reports from the top auto raceways around the world and here at home. I bring you 10 broadcasts throughout the weekend covering all the sports action. Listen for Weekend on Wheels, Sports Central USA, every weekend on the CBS Radio Network.
You were born smart. Now make it pay off in the new Navy. If you're good at math or physics, you may qualify for advanced training in electronics or nuclear propulsion. Training worth over $17,000. Want details? Call 800-841-8000. Ask about the Navy's special program that gives you up to 6 months to report after you've enlisted. That toll-free number again is 800-841-8000. Call now and find out how you can be someone special in the new Navy.
Effective Thursday, the National Park Service is ending its reservation system for national park campsites, Neil Strausser reports.
Says one Park Service official, we cooked up a big crow and ate it. The main reason given for cancellation of the interim agreement with Park Reservation System Incorporated was failure to agree on the interpretation of terms of a 5-year contract. But the disagreement apparently came over whether the Park Service should have to pay additional sums for a reservation service that was supposed to be entirely financed out of surcharges collected from each camper by the private firm. And it followed charges from Senator Howard Metzenbaum of deficiencies in financing and in performance of the company. The story may not be over with the cancellation of the contract. Park Reservation System also collected campsite fees for the government. The Park Service admits it obtained a less than satisfactory bond to protect that money and has no immediate estimate of the amount it is owed. It has now demanded an immediate accounting after a reported threat from the company to deduct claimed damages for the contract cancellation from the government's money. A Park Service official says we stand ready to go to the Justice Department if necessary. Neil Strausser, CBS News, Washington.
Campsite reservations made on or before Thursday, August the 29th, will be honored even after that date. A Senate survey reveals that U.S. industry is facing a serious shortage of raw materials. The 258 industries responding to the survey report a total of 63 important non-energy materials, ranging from aluminum to milk to ink, either unavailable or in short supply. The Senate survey notes the average American consumes or uses 40,000 pounds of materials each year. The prediction? Supply simply cannot keep up with demand, and prices will go up even more. CBS News continues after this.
Yeah, looks like we're the first ones here.
Hey, we'll get a crack at the big ones.
Yeah.
Got the tackle box.
Right here. Hey, that looks like a good place down there at the end of the pier. See?
Yeah.
We'll just put... Oh! Bernie, help! I can't swim!
I'm coming, Joe. Hang on. I'm coming.
Help.
I'll save you.
Marty, help!
Okay, Joe. Here I am. Now, don't get excited, but there's just one thing I forgot.
What?
I can't swim either.
Help!
It's one thing to be a hero, but it's quite another to become a drowning statistic. The American Red Cross has a few tips on how you can rescue someone and not even get wet. If the victim is within reach, you can lie down flat and let him grab your arm or leg. Otherwise, you can use a pole or a paddle to extend your reach. If need be, just throw him something that will float. Remember, you don't have to know how to swim to save a life. For more information, call your Red Cross.
Help!
By the way, the Red Cross has Learn to Swim courses, too.
Richard Nixon has still not been served with that subpoena, ordering him to testify in the Watergate cover-up trial in Washington. The U.S. Marshal's office in Los Angeles says it will be delivered within the next few days. Chief Justice Warren Burger has rejected John Ehrlichman's demand for a lengthy delay in the trial. Justice Burger upheld a lower court order setting the time for September 30th. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
This is your friendly music station, KIXI, dial 91 AM, Seattle.
And now the weather outlook for Seattle, Tacoma, Everdon vicinity. Fair and very warm through Friday. A few early morning fog patches, lows in the upper 50s, highs 85 to 90. Winds northerly 5 to 15 miles per hour, diminishing at night. Chance of measurable rainfall near zero through tomorrow night. Currently, the temperature 76 degrees. The wind is north 3 miles per hour. Barometer 29.92 and steady. Relative humidity, 52%. Stay tuned for Mystery Theater next. Seven minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. For 75 years... from the late 18th to the middle of the 19th century, was the heyday of the writers of the Gothic story. Here is one of the most popular, which the great composer von Weber used as the libretto of the opera Der Freischütz. And appropriately enough, it begins in a graveyard.
William, don't let that gun touch my headstone.
Sorry, Mother.
You have much to be sorry for.
I could not help it, Mother. I love her. I must.
You broke your sacred oath, sworn on my deathbed. You will have cause to regret it, but more so the bride who will never be yours.
Mystery drama, The Fatal Marksman, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Michael Wager and Suzanne Grossman. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Ever had a tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud, watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick, just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. and you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, butt drinkers have been experiencing Amplitude for years, but they never phrase it that way. They just say Budweiser, and that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hey, we're the Action Corps. See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Aye, our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C,
T, O,
we could go on all day.
Oh.
Here's why.
Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into Action.
Oh, yeah.
This is the public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
One in the Duchy of Graustenland would have argued that Catherine Adam, daughter of the forester of Linden, was the loveliest bride in West Germany, and that Robert Stock, the hunter, was a lucky man to be getting her for his bride. No one except Catherine and her mother, that is. For Catherine was very much in love with William Brager, a young bailiff's clerk. But kind as her father, Bertram Adam, was on the subject of his daughter's marriage, he was inflexible.
Now listen, Elsa, once and for all. Drive this notion out of your head, root and branch.
But, Bertram, why shouldn't our Catherine live just as happily with a bailiff's clerk as with a hunter?
Elsa, for better than 200 years, this farm in the forest of Linden has come down from father to son in my family. If I had a son, our Kate could marry whom she will.
It's my fault that I wasn't able to give you a son.
I wouldn't change her for any son in the world. No more than I would change you for anything in the world.
Nor I you, Bert. We've had wonderful years together, and I could only wish the same for Kate. That's why I argue so hard for William. He's such a good, kind-hearted boy.
Kind-hearted, maybe, but not a hunter. And if anything happens to me, unless there is a son, a hunter in my family, to replace me, there goes our tenancy. And you are left with nowhere to live.
But William and Kate would take me in with them.
Take you in with them? Where? Where could they afford to live on a bailiff clerk's salary?
He won't be a bailiff's clerk forever.
Long enough for all we know.
Not William. Oh, no. He has a good head on his shoulders. And when he gets to be a bailiff, oh, what a step up in life for our daughter.
No, wife. Kate will marry Robert.
But she doesn't like Robert.
All right, all right. It's not altogether Robert I care about myself. So, Robert or no Robert, you tell Kate it must be a lad of the forest. I know she put you up to this. 2 o'clock. Well, late enough for dinner today. I'd best back to my preserves.
Shh, Kate, you can come out now. Well, did you hear?
Enough to know he won't agree.
He has his reasons.
He's just a stubborn old man, and I'll never forgive him. I'll run away.
Oh, hush now. You don't mean anything you're saying.
I do. I do. I'll never marry anyone. I'll take the vows.
Come now, Kate. Stop making a scene.
It's William or no one.
Oh, you're as stubborn as your father. What am I going to do? Oh, who could that be? Go see like a good girl.
Yes, Mother. William.
Kate.
Oh, darling.
Oh.
Kate. Your mother present.
Will, take me away, please.
Kate,
my father won't let me marry you. He says I must marry a hunter or no one.
Is this true, Frau Adam?
I'm afraid so, William. You see, We only hold the farm as tenants, and here Adam his title of forest ranger only so long as there is a hunter in the family to pass them on to. Which means that Kate must be married to a forester.
Tell me, love, would you prefer me as a hunter or a bailiff?
Oh, I wouldn't care what you were, darling, as long as we could spend our lives together.
Well, you can't suddenly turn yourself into a hunter within a few weeks, William.
Don't be too sure of that, Frau Adam.
Oh, what do you mean?
I can't tell you now, but could you give me your word to keep the Herr Adam from betrothing Kate to anyone for 3 days?
How could that help?
There's a place I have to visit where I was born, and a question I must have answered before I can let you know.
What?
Whether or not you and I can be the ones to be betrothed and married, and with your father's consent. It took most of what money I had to pay my coach fare to Manfredstein, and it was long past dark when I was dropped off. The best I could afford at the inn was a bowl of soup. And by the time I set off for the graveyard, the heel's end of the moon was all the light I had, skittering in and out of the clouds, driven over it by a scudding wind. It was still before midnight when I dug up my father's rifle where it had lain beside his grave, the oilskin still unrotted by the damp, the case still not pierced by the worms, and the gun itself in the fitful moonlight, still gleaming with the thick coat of oil I'd put on it myself. And now the worst part, to cross the few steps to my mother's grave and stand there waiting for the midnight hour. The only time they say you can speak to a ghost. The church bell was sounding the magic hour. As I knelt, thoughtlessly leaning the gun against the headstone.
William, don't let that gun touch my headstone.
Sorry, Mother.
You have much to be sorry for. I know why you come.
I had to, Mother. I love her.
You want to break your sacred oath, sworn on my deathbed. If you do, you will have cause to regret it. But more so, the bride who will never be yours.
She will never be mine unless you release me from the oath.
I have no power to release you, even if I wanted to. That's the last I can ever say to you.
Mother, don't make me break my oath. Don't.
Mother, she's gone.
I had hoped against hope my mother could change, but I knew in my heart when I came that my mind was already made up one way or another. And the main thing that had brought me home was to find my father's gun. It took me 2 full days and a night to retrace my way along the road, and the coach had brought me. And dusk was beginning to fall when, exhausted, famished, and dirty from the road, I knocked on the door of the Adams house.
Come in. Where have you been? What?
Forgive me. No food, water, no sleep.
Bert, get some schnapps.
Right away, Elsa.
Mother, he's not...
No. No, he's just fainted. Get that big case out of the way, whatever it is.
Oh, that's a gun case. It's good quality, too. I wonder
if you'd forget guns just long enough to get some schnapps into this poor boy.
No, I'm all right. I can get up.
Yeah, now get some of this into your belly first. It'll put some strength in your legs.
Oh, I feel better now. Thank you.
What happened to you, darling?
Nothing happened to me. I did it all to myself. And for us, I can get up now.
Yeah. I'll help you up.
Oh, thank you. I just overdid a little.
Well, now, what have you been up to?
I went to fetch my father's gun. My father was Forester General Wilbrager of Manfredstein. So if it's a hunter you want for your son-in-law, it's a hunter you've got.
Kate, will you... you come away from that window and help me get the meal ready for those men? They should be home soon.
That's why I'm watching, Mama.
And doing a little praying, too, I suppose.
That Will shoots straight and true. He must be very out of practice.
Oh, from the way he handled his gun this morning when they were getting ready to leave, I don't think it'll take him long to get his eye back.
Oh, Mama, are you sure?
Who can be sure? The proof is in the pudding. Oh, which reminds me, the dough for my apple strudel, if I let that too long in the oven...
Oh, Will, my darling, shoot true. Straight and true as my love for you.
Shot! Ho-ho! Dropped him in his tracks. He never even felt it. Will, you studied well with your father. You stay with me, and before we are finished, we'll make you a second Kuno.
Kuno?
You don't know Kuno? Why, he was my father's grandfather, and the first man who ever occupied this forest and cultivated this farm. When his good fortune happened... He was a riding boy to a young gentleman of Whippach. And one day, attending him while he was riding hunt with the Duke, the dogs turned up a stag on the back of which a man was bound.
Oh, I've heard of that. The lords used to punish poor men who had poached by binding him like that so the herd would gore him to death or he would eventually die of thirst or hunger.
Right, right. Now, the Duke was a stern but just man, and he had made a law against stag binding. And he wanted the man taken alive to find out who had broken his law. So he offered a reward to any huntsman who would bring down the stag without hurting the man.
But if the man was shot and killed...
He threatened the shooter with equal displeasure and his banishment from court.
I'll wager none of the nobility were eager to take that Campbell, but Kuno did.
Aye, lad. That very man whose picture you might have seen hanging above the mantelpiece of the house.
Oh, I noticed him all right. He had an eye like a hawk.
And nerves of steel. Well, just as the stag turned into a thicket, he clapped his gun to his shoulder and fired. At that same moment, out rushed the stag, staggered and fell, and the man, unwounded, save for some scratches.
And the reward was the farm and the title of forest ranger.
To Kuno himself and his heirs forever.
Oh, what a magnificent reward for one shot.
So thought many people, especially those who had been afraid to take the risk. And so, gossip started. And since it was the nobility, mainly, who wished to save their faces, what did they do but persuade the Duke that Kuno's shot hit the mark through witchcraft and the black arts?
But surely the Duke knew what a fine shot Kuno was.
Well, it was the quickness of the thing, you see. Kuno could line up a target as fast as lightning. But the others argued that it was so fast, he just fired at random. They said he never took aim, which makes it a devil shot. A devil shot never fails of hitting the mark.
But the Duke didn't take away the farm.
No, no. But from there came the regulation that every descendant of Kuno's must fire a probationary shot that drops the deer... before he's admitted as tenant.
I may only know that Kate might be mine. I shall practice every moment to make sure I cannot miss.
Good lad, good lad. After today, you have my confidence.
Suddenly, the sun went out. The forest greenery changed to weird and ghostly shapes. And standing in front of me was the corpse gray shade of my mother, clad only in her winding sheet.
With everything he wants in the world almost within his grasp, this spectral wraith of his mother seems to threaten Will with disaster. Or is she only a figment of the imagination, the prick of conscience in a young man's mind, already overtired and heady with excitement of the oath that circumstance is forcing him to break? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Say, do you know what happens this time of year?
The swallows come back to Capistrano.
Nope.
The buzzards come back to Hinckley Ridge, Ohio?
No.
Bulldogs all over the world begin to shed?
Not even close. Oh. This, my friend, is the time of year when you can get a super little deal on the practical but elegant Buick Apollo. And just between you and me, it may very well be the best chance you'll ever have to buy a Buick.
I could have sworn this was Buzzard Day in Hinckley.
Stanley Myron Handelman.
Did you know you can have a college grad's career without 4 years of college? All you need is a year or two of technical education to work in fields like engineering, health service, automotive design, and forestry. The facts are in a free booklet called 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. Just write, Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
Wednesday, 10 o'clock. I'm back at the office working on the case when my secretary brings me the mail. Thanks, kid. The usual stuff. Then I see it. It's addressed to me, resident. Inside, a fake rabbit's foot. The pitch, a $2 donation or send back the rabbit's foot. My problem, what to do about it.
I'll help you with good advice from the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yeah? Spill it.
If you receive unordered merchandise in the mail, you are under no obligation to return it or pay for it.
Thanks, pal. You're okay.
Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
It was an exciting and wonderful dinner that night for the Adams and Will. In the warmth and regard of his future father-in-law, the unutterable delight of his bride-to-be, Will was almost able to forget that frail, grieving wraith who had faced him in the forest. But as day succeeded day, and the time of the trial drew nearer and nearer, the memory of his dead mother and her agony over his broken oath haunted him more and more.
Will? Darling, what brings you home so early?
You can see.
Oh, not an empty bag again. What's the matter? What's happened?
Kate, darling, I don't know. I'll have a deer in my sights and the gun will misfire. I'll come upon a partridge at point-blank range, and my shot will veer and hit a tree 3 feet to the left. I swear I think that gun is enchanted.
You're just having a run of bad luck. It happens to every hunter, even father.
Not like this. And the worst of it is he's blaming it now on sheer heedlessness on my part. He thinks that all I think about is you.
Well, at least some of the time you do, don't you?
Oh, Kate, I have to struggle very hard to keep you out of my mind. I love you so. And that makes it even worse because I'm beginning to think my fear is affecting my shooting.
What fear?
I fear that your father will change his mind and that he'll withdraw his approval of our marriage.
But he knows how well you shoot. You proved it to him that first day. Your hunting bag was bulging, and you dropped that great stag whose antlers hang there beside my ancestor Kuno's portrait.
That was one day out of 2 weeks.
What you have done once, you can do again. For me. Here, Will. Here's your gun. It still lacks 15 minutes of three, and the sun is still high. For me. For your Catherine. Bring me a heart. Take the dogs to be sure to round up one. And my heart and my prayers to bring you luck.
By heaven, I will. Or not show myself again. Ah, there's a prize buck. Let me just get a bead on you, my beauty. Not 50 paces away. I can't miss. I couldn't have missed him. I couldn't. Oh, Kate, forgive me. I'll reload it and still bring you your game. I'll be damned to whatever devil may try to lay his curse on me.
Hey, hold fast, comrade.
What ails a man to cry out so on a day such as this one?
I turned in my tracks. And there, sitting under a nearby tree, was an old soldier with a wooden leg and a dusty, travel-worn uniform. Threadbare and barely holding together.
Well, is it body or purse that's ailing? Health or wealth that escaped you? Or has someone put a spell on your gun?
What did you say about my gun?
Man and boy, I've spent my life with guns. And if I say it, I shouldn't, as no one knows more about them than I do. I see you looking at my wooden leg.
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant no harm.
Oh, it happened so long ago, I never think of it. Cavalry sabers separated that from me. You wouldn't have a bit of tobacco you could share with an old soldier?
Why, yes, sir. Just a minute.
Here, let me hold your gun while you dig it out. That's as fine a piece as I've ever seen. No man could have missed that buck with this unless it had been charmed.
Oh, I never thought on that. Here's your tobacco, sir.
Oh, thank you. I'll just take a pipe load. And...
Oh, keep it. I have more at home. Charmed, you say? Then all I'd have to do would be to change my gun and...
Not so fast. If the spell has been proper laid, you'll have no better luck with any other gun.
Oh, I can't believe that. If no gun I put to my shoulder will shoot true, how then can I ever be a forester?
Draw in here. I like you, lad, for your generosity, and I'll pose you a riddle, for which, if you have not the answer, I'll give it to you.
What riddle?
If the gun refuses to bring down the prey, what else lets the huntsman have his way?
Oh, I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that.
Why, the ball, lad, the bullet.
But where could I find such a bullet?
Why, it just so happens that I have about me some gifted bullets that cannot fail to go true. Now, just give it a try now. No, I'll answer for it, no doubt.
Well, I hate to waste a shot knowing I shall miss before I pull the trigger. The dogs have lost the deer. Where shall I find a target?
I'll pick one for you. Hey, look up. You see yon kite up there? Bring him down.
Oh, well, not only is he almost out of range, but he's but a speck. I can scarce see him.
Still take aim and fire, never doubt.
Well, what have I got to lose?
That's the spirit I like. Fire away!
I hit him.
Tis no surprise.
But where would one find bullets like these?
Oh, tis not difficult to cast them. Hey, here's a few braces of my bullets for you in exchange for the tobacco. Try another.
I don't know how to thank you.
Hey, lad. You'll find your own way. See that hair? Drop him.
I hit him. Old soldier, how could I... Oh. I turned to thank my benefactor again, but he had slipped away into the forest as silently as he had come. One mistake I made. I shrank from telling anyone, not even my beloved Kate, of the gifted bullets.
Oh, Ilse, now, so much for your nonsense about enchantments on Will's gun.
Enchantments?
Mama was afraid that someone had cast a spell over you or your gun.
Oh, women and their superstitions.
Well, men are just as bad, if not worse.
Not foolish enough to imagine some devil knocked down old Kuno's portrait when anyone knows it was a cankered nail.
What's that about a devil?
Oh, nothing but nonsense.
This afternoon, just shortly after you went back to the forest, the picture fell off the wall.
How long after I left the house?
Not over 15 minutes, just as the clock was striking 3.
You see how foolish the whole thing is? 3. The luckiest hour of the day.
Lucky for me, at least, I thought, remembering that it was just about the time I met the old soldier. I was tempted to speak about him, but my pride held me back. For within a few days, I was the talk of all the foresters again. No one brought more game home than I. But my stock of the enchanted bullets was running desperately low, and I prayed to find old Wooden Lug. And to my horror, I was down to a single bullet, which I had to hoard for the competition. And suddenly every shot began again to go astray. And then the final blow struck.
Will! Will! Where are you?
I'm here, Herr Adam.
Now watch this. Why are you not ready to go hunting?
I don't feel very well.
I couldn't care less if you were about to take to your deathbed. You know the Duke has sent an emissary ordering nearly double the amount of venison necessary for the festival? It'll take every huntsman within the next 10 miles to bring in enough to satisfy his honor.
Well, what good am I to you? I'll only waste the bullets. You know I've lost my eye.
You have lost more than your shooting eye if you don't bring in your fair share of the game today. Now, you'll have lost my daughter.
But you promised me
I promised a forester, not some mealy-mouthed quill pusher who can only see to shoot on certain days. Now, make haste while I bring the dogs around.
Oh, Will, I overheard. What are you going to do?
Kate, I don't know. Hand me my bag.
Here, darling. Surely for my sake, somehow you can down a buck today.
Hand me my gun. Kate, as I promise you, I'll bring at least one home if I have to club him to death with a gun stock. I threaded my way through the trees in despair. Kate, I had resolved, to me was lost. Which way to lose her? To use my magic bullet now and escape her father's displeasure only to fail the competition shot? Or to hang on to the bullet for the Duke's competition? Of a sudden, a ridge away through the trees, I saw a herd of deer coming. Automatically, I loaded the last precious bullet in the breech, aimed my gun, but still my finger refused to squeeze off a shot.
Fire away, boy! Fire! You'll never have a better chance! I promise you, you'll hit not one, but two.
Coming down the hill towards me, waving encouragement, old wooden leg. And secure now that I could get at least one more charm bullet, I turned and fired. He was right. I had dropped not one, but two roebucks with one shot. I turned to hurry and meet him and greet him, but there was no sign of him. He was gone as if the earth had literally opened up and swallowed him. And all my hopes with him.
A shot, Kate. You should have seen your husband-to-be. You would have been proud of him. 2 bucks at one shot.
One might almost think it was a magic bullet.
Oh, women and their superstitions. Is that what happened, Will, hey? Did you make yourself a magic bullet, like the scandalous charge they tried to make about old Kuno 2 centuries ago?
I beg your pardon, Herr Adam, what did you say?
Will isn't feeling himself today. Sometimes I wonder about the stories of old Kuno and the devil's shot.
Kuno's was no devil's shot.
Are you saying there is no such thing?
Oh, there's always gossip of such a thing. You say that's how Peter Franz died. They found him on the road all torn and clawed to pieces.
By whom?
One thing he never could say in his confession to the magistrate.
What did he say to the magistrate?
Why, that he and some old wooden-legged soldier had been trying to make some magic bullets.
Did he say how such a bullet could be made?
Oh, it is all a pack of nonsense, of course, but for the sake of a good tale to give us all the goosebumps, you must go to a crossroads, make a circle with a bloody sword, and in this circle lay a skull and bones crosswise. On the stroke of 11, you start to cast the balls. 60 and 3. No more, no less. Nor must you step from out that charmed circle, no matter what apparitions appear, or shrieks rend the air, or owls or bats or other hideous things might beat against you, until the last stroke of 12. And of the bullets cast, 60 will carry true, and only 3 can miss. Peter was so scared at whatever happened to him inside that circle that long before 12 he fled from it. And little more could he tell before he died in horrible agony.
Oh, God preserve all God-fearing folk from such snares of Satan. You frightened the heart out of me. And look at Will.
He's pale as a sheet.
The poor darling hasn't been feeling well all day. You should never have forced him to the hunt, Bob.
True enough. He said he was out of sorts. Well, God grant he be the same way when the provisional shot comes up day after tomorrow. So he may shoot as he shot today.
But Will Brager, knowing now the secret of the bullet that could not miss, would sleep little that night. Knowing what preparations he had in mind for the morrow and what he planned to do, he knew that this night might well be his last above ground. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
Quiet! Halt!
Cigarette?
No need for that. I'm ready.
Blindfold?
Dash it, man. Let's get it over with.
As you wish.
Ready! Aim! Fire!
Henry, wake up! Huh? You're dreaming again. Your tax audit?
Yeah, today's the day.
But you got all your records together?
Yes, I do. Well, aren't you coming?
You don't need me. You're ready.
Can I help you, sir?
Well,
you're here for an audit. Won't you have a seat?
Thank you.
Well, now, let's see.
If you have good records of your income and receipts for your deductions, an audit of your federal income tax return can be easier than you think.
How did it go, Henry?
No problem. Nothing I couldn't handle.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
Looking for a few good men. Men who want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn. Like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
That same night, once all the rest were asleep, Will stole from the house. Then, having borrowed a spade and a sack, he stole away to the nearest graveyard. Well before dawn, he returned with a skull, two thigh bones, and a sword. The bones still caked with earth, and the sword rusted in the scabbard from their sojourn in some unnamed soldier's grave. After cleaning them off carefully, he stole back into the house, hiding them under his bed. It was nearly dawn before he fell into a deep sleep, just before the rest of the house awakened.
Well, I'm off. I'll pick off a couple of bags of Cornish hen to garnish the table for the Duke. Will still asleep?
You gave him the day off.
Quite right, too. The boy should be well rested for his ordeal tomorrow.
I'll see you later, Elsa. Kate, you look a little peaked. Anything wrong?
No. No, Papa.
Is it the closeness of marriage that gives you the trembles?
Oh, now off with you. 'Tis Will that concerns her, Bert.
Oh, have no fear for Will. He will not miss. His bullet will find his mark. Well, I won't lack companionship. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, you know, you do look pale and wan, love. Why not rest a little?
No. No, there's too much to do.
Will has been so strange since last night, too. You haven't quarreled.
No, nothing like that. It's silly, really, Mama. Just a dream I had last night. Dreams have no meaning, do they?
Well, tell me about it.
Well, it isn't really much to tell. I dreamed I... I was a white dove.
Oh, a happy omen for a bride, surely.
Except that I wasn't flying free. There was a ring around my neck. It was holding me. I wanted to fly away, but couldn't. And then...
Then?
Then there was a loud noise, and I fell. I fell down beside you, and you were kneeling beside me, and Will was turning to look at us in agony. And I saw that you were all covered with blood.
Me?
My blood, Mother. My blood.
It was too late. The die was cast. Tonight, I would try to forge the magic bullets.
So, a little wine for all of us. For this night, we will keep the bridal feast.
Tomorrow, 'twould be impossible with the Duke and his retinue here.
This is our last chance as a family, before the wedding, to dine confidentially and affectionately. Prosit.
Prosit. All the best of luck,
Prosit.
Prosit. And all the best of luck.
But it is tomorrow the young people will be happiest.
The Duke has insisted the vicar be there. And the moment Will has passed his examination... Kuno's picture has fallen again. What the devil can be the matter with that nail?
Kate, there's blood on your face.
It's nothing. The corner just grazed my temple as it fell.
Let me see.
No. It's already wiped away. Please, let's begin the wedding feast. We've waited too long already.
Instead of a feast, the evening was a nightmare for me. By 8 o'clock, I was getting desperate. How could a man steal away from his own bridal festival? Then with the last strike here, Adam broke it up, and we all, after exchanging kisses and handshakes and hugs of affection, went to bed. It was a long, long wait for me until at last 9 o'clock struck, and gathering the lead bullet mold, coals, and all the other requisites into my sack, I stole quietly downstairs and out of the house. I was less than 200 yards from the house when I heard the rapid patter of feet catching up with me.
Will! Will, where are you?
Shh! Kate, go back to the house.
But where are you going?
Somewhere you cannot follow me.
You're running away.
Running away from you? What would make you think that?
That bag over your shoulder. Don't you want to marry me?
Want to... God, Kate, if I can't be married to you, then I don't want to live.
That's how I feel about you.
Then go quickly back to bed and leave me to do what must be done.
If I let you go now, I may never see you again.
I'm going so we can be together for the rest of our lives.
We're starting that this minute. I'm going with you.
You can't. You don't understand. There's terrible danger.
If you can face it, so will I.
How can I explain it to you? There isn't time.
You can explain to me on the way to wherever we're going.
I will not allow you to come.
Now you listen to me. I want to spend my life with you. But in the light of the moon, I can see the shadow of possible death in your eye. If it's death you're to find tonight, then I choose to find that with you. Whatever our future is, it lies together. Now, shall we get started? And you can explain to me what it's all about as we go.
It was a long walk to the crossroads, but even at that, I was still finishing my story to a Kathy struck dumb by the time I had drawn my circle with the bloody sword, spread the bones, and started my cohort. 10 o'clock had struck on the church steeple long ago, and it was hard by 11. All was in readiness as the moon buried itself deeper and deeper in the clouds. There was a faint pattering of rain that hissed on my ladle where the lead melted in the heat. And all about were the sounds of bats and owls and other horrible, light-shunning things that came and went as Kate clung to me in dismay.
Oh, Will, I should never have been the cause of your breaking your oath to your mother.
My mother would forgive me, I know. Kate, there's still time for you to go.
It's already too late. The hour is striking.
Yes. Now remember, Kathy, no matter what you hear, no matter what you see or feel, don't step out of the circle till we're done. Remember.
I remember. A prayer. Oh, God, if Will has offended you, he did it only for love. And for what he's about to do, forgive him. For if he were not to have me, or me him, I would be ready to take my own life.
Too late. Too late. For with that last chime, the first bullet is made and you are mine. Mine.
Oh, listen to him, Kate. Put more lead into the ladle.
Oh, no!
Do the bellows on the fire. The light will drive them away. See, they are gone. Shut your ears, shut your eyes, Kate. Stay in the circle.
Look, that horrible old man with the wooden leg.
There's nothing can help. The hour's too late. Nothing can step twixt thee and thy fate.
Will, the coach and six headed straight for us down the road. They'll ride over us. Run, run!
No, Kate, you stay in my arms and we stay on ground. Outside the circle is only death.
Used describing the rest of that hellish hour. The coach, reaching the circle, soared into the air to vanish. As did a ravening, slathering, huge, hairy boar that charged down at us from the crossroad. And all the while I molded the bullets while Kate kept the lead liquid for me. By my watch, it was almost 12. And as the 60th bullet was cast, the clock began to strike. And the moon came out full as I hastily cast the last three. As I did, all was sudden silence. As there, standing beyond the circle, was old Wooden Leg.
The witching hour, and the task is finished. You've stood the trial well. What would you have of me?
Nothing. Nothing at all. What I want, I have prepared myself.
Have you now? But with my help.
By no means. I bargained for no help. I did not summon you.
I toughened your bolder than most. So take the bullet you cast, but remember, 60 for thee, 3 for me. The 60 go true, but 3 askew. All will be plain when we meet again.
In a puff of black smoke, he was gone, vanished into thin moonlight air. And I took my bullets and my fainting bride home, torn by black despair and brightening hope. By next morning at dawn, the Duke and his party had arrived for the hunt. And I was chosen to ride by his side as his gunsman and hunter. If I had any fear of my magic bullets, the first shot dispelled it forever.
Well, damn my hide, that is shooting. The lead duck in that flight which is not yet over us, huh?
Partly from relief, but mainly I am ashamed because of the Duke's flattery. I lost my head. By the time I returned from the hunt, I had but 3 bullets left. Of the other 62 misses only, all the rest had found their mark.
Well, by Gad, Adam, I've never seen such shooting in my life as this young fellow here. William is the name, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And I swear, after today's exhibition, it seems foolhardy to carry through the old tradition, eh? Still, 'tis the law, and we must allow him to show off for his lovely bride. Come, my dear, bring your mother and stand near me.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And you stand on my other side, Will. Come, load up whilst I pick your target.
With shaking hands, I fingered the 3 bullets left. Which 2 the good, and which the one that could miss. I had to gamble, and just as I loaded...
The white dove on that pillar far down the road. Bring her down.
Oh, no, no.
No, hush, girl, hush. What? Don't you want this likely lad for your husband, eh? Now, fire away with you.
Ah! A dream.
What on earth is the matter with the girl? Fainted?
Oh, blessed Mary. Your Honor. No.
60 go true, 3 go askew.
I turned to see Kate's mother bent over her, soaked with the blood that ran down her bridal veil from the fatal wound in her head. I had picked the devil's bullet, but I knew the one that I loaded for myself would go true, and I would join my bride wherever she was.
A true Gothic tale. Terror, suspense, blood, death, and tragedy. Not the stuff one would think to sleep on, and yet more Gothic stories are read in bed than in the parlor or library. Perhaps because it is only human nature to be able to say, as we turn out the light, such things, of course, could never happen to us. I'll return shortly.
Excuse me, sir, but do you know what happens this time of year?
Right on, pal. I happen to know that right about now, a freak blizzard falls on Dumont, New Jersey, and they're snowed in for the rest of the summer. Happens every year.
No. You see, what happens this time of year is that you can get a particularly good deal on what is perhaps the most luxurious mid-sized car on the market, the mid-sized Buick Century Regal.
Well, what good's a car when you're hopelessly snowed in?
Well, that's a point.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
Don't think too hard on William, who broke a sacred oath, or Kate, who loved well but not wisely. It was Daniel Defoe, Robinson Crusoe's writer, who said it. Wherever God erects a house of prayer, the devil builds a chapel there, and 'twill be found upon examination the latter has the largest congregation. Let's hope none of us join it. Our cast included Michael Wager, Suzanne Grossman, Ian Martin, Bryna Rayburn, and William Johnstone. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
You sounded just like Handsome Harry.
I am Handsome Harry, sweetheart. Just using Stupid's body for a while.
You are using Barty's body?
Until I learn how to materialize, if I ever do. They tell me on the other side, in that limbo joint, it takes a lot of patience and practice. Yeah, what do they know? They even told me I'm getting this hate out of my soul the wrong way.
Well, I haven't wanted to say anything.
All right, so don't. They say taking out my hate on Tex and Dory only make my hate grow bigger. Said I gotta find forgiveness in my heart. I told them to take a powder. I know what I'm doing.
I hope so.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night, same time, same station. Now stay tuned for the news next.
Have a musical day or night with KIXI, 96 FM or 91 AM, Seattle.
11 o'clock.
CBS News. Mexican police say there are no new developments in the kidnapping of the father-in-law of Mexico's president. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kidnappers Wednesday abducted 83-year-old José Zuño Hernández, the father-in-law of Mexican President Luis Echeverria. Zuño Hernández was in the back seat of his car when another auto forced the driver to stop. The kidnapping took place in Guadalajara. There have been several reports of newspapers receiving phone calls from the alleged kidnappers and one report of a ransom demand, but police say they cannot confirm the reports and are without any definite leads at this time. Zuño Hernández is a former Mexican Army general and state governor. He retired from public life many years ago and had been living a quiet life in Guadalajara. More news in a moment.
Right now, you can get True Value Hardware Store's finest latex paints at special low prices. Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you that True Test Supreme Latex House Paint is just $7.44 a gallon. And True Test Supreme Satin Hue Interior Latex is just $6.99 a gallon. The house paint comes in 24 earth tone Jamestown colors and white. It protects and wears like a fine oil-based paint. Yet it's latex, so it's easy to apply and easy to clean up after. The interior flat latex comes in 48 colors in white. It goes on smoothly without dripping or painty odor. True Test Supreme Latex House Paint, just $7.44 a gallon. Satin Hue Interior Latex, just $6.99 a gallon. True Value Hardware Stores make True Test paints in their own factories. They know their reputation as paint specialists depends on the quality of that paint. Get True Test paints at special low prices now during the Labor Day paint sale. Exclusively at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
Holding his first news conference as president, Gerald Ford denied that he is changing his political philosophy either toward the right or the left. The president explained his position on amnesty.
I have made a decision concerning amnesty, which I think is right and proper. No amnesty, no revenge. And that individuals who have violated either the draft laws or have evaded selective service or deserted can earn their way or work their way back.
The president said he does not think his position on amnesty falls into the political spectrum, either left or right. In his news conference, President Ford again ruled out any return to wage and price controls to try to deal with inflation. One leading Democrat in Congress says he does not think the president should be so firm on that. A report from Rich Holter of CBS radio affiliate station WCCO, Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey, a member of the Joint Congressional Economic Committee and the 8-member steering committee for the president's coming economic summit, had a word of caution for the president about the finality of his news conference stand on wage and price controls.
I hope there are no wage and price controls, but I do think that the president ought to be a little careful about saying under no circumstances, because even the threat of wage and price controls has a moderating effect upon on inflationary pressures. You've got to watch both prices and wages during a delicate and sensitive period like this. However, I don't see any mood now, desire now on the part of people in Congress or the president to apply wage and price controls.
In general, however, the Minnesota Democrat is pleased with the new administration's approach to our economic troubles, saying a healthy discussion is once again underway between those in government and the public. Rich Holter for CBS News, St. Paul.
President and Mrs. Ford spent Wednesday evening hosting a dinner and dancing party at the White House, their second such evening since Mr. Ford became president almost 3 weeks ago. There were 54 guests for the event, including Vice President-designate Nelson Rockefeller and his wife. The Rockefellers also accepted an invitation to stay overnight at the White House. A serious timber and brush fire continues to burn west of Palm Springs, California. As of nightfall, the fire had burned over 17,000 acres in the San Bernardino National Forest. About 700 people have been evacuated, many of them from the mountain community of Pine Grove. Now this.
The world's in love with the sunny day, and smiling faces are on display. Enjoy the sun, but don't overdo. After years and years, too much sun can do harm chance can hurt your skin. So cover up or come on in.
Enjoy the sun, says your American Cancer Society. But remember, constant overexposure can be harmful. So wear a broad-brimmed hat and long sleeves, or apply a screening lotion or cream. As your American Cancer Society says,
it makes good sense to use this in the sun. Don't overdo and get overdone.
The Pentagon has responded to reports that Defense Secretary Schlesinger feared President Nixon might have panicked and pushed the button starting a nuclear war during the final days of Mr. Nixon's presidency. Pentagon officials called these reports pure bunk. Several days ago, Pentagon officials did confirm that Schlesinger kept a close eye on the military chain of command during the final days of the Nixon presidency. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. The weather outlook for the Puget Sound area, fair and very warm through Friday. A few early morning fog patches, lows in the upper 50s, highs 85 to 90, winds northerly 5 to 15 miles per hour, diminishing at night. And the current temperature is 76 degrees.